Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you today for today, Lord. Thank you that, Lord, we can come together to your word. We ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may quicken us. Lord, that our mind may be able to appropriate and receive the things, Lord, that we need to understand. Lord, your word says that we cannot receive things in our own natural mind, as to be through your spirit and through, Lord, the discernment that we have to be able to receive the truth and appropriate it for ourselves and put it to work for us. So right now, Lord, we open ourselves up to you and we ask you, Lord, that as we open ourselves up to you, Lord, you pour down your spirit upon us to quicken us and to enable us to hear and to, Lord, receive it in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, last week we were sharing about breaking all the bondage and becoming free. But we have to understand some of the things that have been shared even today. You know, that we are in a war. We are in a battle. There are two kingdoms in war, one against the other. And we should realize that and understand that war is serious business. That we need to understand what is involved and understand the implications of that. And I'm going to be looking at some of the things that we need to know to be able to know that the battle is already won and that we need to fight nevertheless for what has to do with us, because we are part of that and God expects us to fight the battle and to continue until there is complete victory. Okay? So, the whole thing started from even before man was made. And this goes back to the time when Satan rebelled against God. Okay? And he tried to do his own thing, tried to lift himself up and try to do the thing so that he would be is the same as God. Okay, and that was punished and was thrown down, and I'm not going to go into all the details of that, but there is clear evidence in the Bible that he was thrown from the heaven and we came down to on earth. So God allowed that to happen. Okay. So, and then when he created man, he had a plan. And the plan was for man to actually establish his kingdom here. That was, you know, this is not a new idea. This is not Jesus coming in and telling us. That was, prepared from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the whole air and the fall of the heaven, and even every cattle, and over all the earth, and over all the creepers creeping on the earth. And God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him and made male and female." Now, the idea there is the word there is, he said, and let him our likeness, and let them have dominion over everything that had to do on the earth. So there is an idea there. The word dominion is really a strong word that implies, the ruling ability that was given to man to control and to rule the world. Now, even then, Satan was already messed up things before even man came. And so the idea was that God put man there to straighten up things, to put them under God's authority. See, the dominion that Adam had was because of the authority that God has given him to rule and to control things, to have dominion. Okay. And he made essentially man in the image, in the likeness of God, and in the image of God. Now, those two words, if you go to the Hebrew there, you can see the meaning of those two things, those two words. You know, they mean, you know, essentially in the image of God means, you know, that it's the essential nature of God was given to man. So it was the same type of being as God was. And the likeness of God was similar, you know, it's a representation or a build in the same, in a way similar to the original object that was imitating. So he was made in such a way that was an imitation of God. Okay, I'm not going to go into all the details of that because it would be just, it would probably take a whole morning to do that. But I'm going to just use Psalm 8, verse 5, in which, and you can go and read the whole Psalm, and this is expanded even there. But it says, "For thou hast made him, man, a little lower than," often the translation are angels, but really the word in Greek is Elohim, which actually means God. See, was made a little lower than, a bit lower than the Godhead. He's not God, he's not the same as God, but was a bit lower. But was higher than all the other being, spiritual beings that were created, including angels. So the translation of a little lower than the angel is not appropriate. And says there, and in some translations, like for example, the Amplify, the American Standard Version and New American Standard Version and so on, they use that translation because it's the accurate translation. Okay. In other places, you can see the comment on that. But let's continue. "For thou hast made him a little lower than God and crowned him with glory and honor." So God gave him glory and honor. And what the glory and honor were about was the fact that, you know, God's glory was passed on to him, so that he had authority and power to operate on the world and to subdue it to God, because he was a representative of God on earth to establish God's kingdom where it's been removed because Satan came down here. Now, let's continue. See, he was created for that purpose. In verse 28 of Genesis said the same thing. God blessed them, and God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." You see, he was not subdued yet, but man had to subdue the earth. Not only subdue the earth, but multiply. That means expand, grow. This is God's principle. God's principle always multiplies. Always, you know, you cannot keep things the same. You get to expand the kingdom. See, this is what's the command, if you want, or the God established Adam as the governor on earth to establish his kingdom. Okay, so failure, have dominion over the fish of the sea and so on and so on. Again, you know, all the part, you know, all the areas of the earth, you know, both physical and the animal kingdom and the vegetal kingdom was all submitted to him. How was he submitted to him? See, the word actually subdue it or have dominion are actually military terms. That implies that somebody takes over and controlled and ruled the area. And Adam had to do it not by other means, but supernaturally. You see, he was given the glory of God so that he could supernaturally operate in that glory to implement God's kingdom. He didn't have to work. He didn't have to sweat. He didn't need to do anything. He had to just speak because his word was the same as God speaking. He had delegated authority. That means the authority is the right to rule on earth. And so he had the ability to subdue the whole thing and to expand from where he was to where he had the whole thing could be under him. Okay? In 2 Genesis 15 says, you know, then God, Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. So the idea, you see, the Garden of Eden, you know, people have been searching for it, but they have never found it. Because I believe it was not really a place. It was a spiritual part of this. It was the beginning of the kingdom established here and was where Adam was. You see, his presence established this kingdom because he was the authority to exercise God's authority. Okay? And so the idea is that he was, you know, the word Garden of Eden, you know, Eden means delight. Okay? The fullness, I mean, in God's presence, there is fullness of joy, fullness of delight. So, the idea, you know, where Adam was God's presence because he was his representative. Garden means, you know, a place that is, the word there in Hebrew means a place that is fenced, that is protected. So really, you know, where God's presence was around Adam and was fenced around him. And God gave him the right and the authority to expand the fence and to take over. You see, that's why he said subdue, because where the party already had was the way the authority has given him, but he had to take over, was around him, take over the whole earth. And he had control over the physical thing, and we can see it in Jesus. He told the wind and the tempest to stop, so that's a physical representation. He had the authority to control animals. He wasn't afraid of any animal. Because with his word, he was controlling them. You see, it's a spiritual thing that was taking place. Until he blew it. You see, that was the established. You see, God wanted to have everything orderly and everything organized according to what he had planned. And he put Adam there to actually carry out the plan. And that was really establishing his kingdom on earth. Okay, as his representative. All right. And his job was to multiply, expand, grow, and take over, subdue. That was what he had to do. That was the Great Commission. You see, today the Great Commission is not changed. Hello? It's still supernatural. You cannot do it by your mind or by your, you know, it has to be done in the Spirit, it has to be done by the Spirit of God. You see, the authority, Jesus said, you know, all authority and power is given unto me, therefore you go, is the same authority that Adam had because Jesus took it back. Amen. Okay? So, he had the authority to take over and to expand Eden so that the whole thing would be a delight. All the world would be a delight. That's the word meaning. Okay. So, this is the way God made us. God made us that way. He made us that way at the beginning, and he made us that way again. If you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, says, you know, for we are his workmanship. God made, you know, Adam didn't have to grow up like a child. He was made a grown-up already. He was equipped for everything that he had to do. He didn't tell, you know, go and conquer, take over and subdue the world without giving. God wouldn't give him that kind of an authority if he didn't equip him to do that. So he was completely equipped to do the work that God had given to place. You know, God always, when he does something, he prepares the thing so that thing that he did is going to work. So if he call you to do something, he equips you first so that you, when you are going to be able to do the things that you have to do, you just carry out what he's saying, and he has the, you have the power and authority and the ability that God has given you. If you let him. See, because there is a question of you actually making decisions and you choosing things. Okay, and evidently, you know, Adam didn't make the right choice. Okay. So, this is important. This is the beginning. See, we have to understand that the role that authority and power have at then and have now for us, because we are carrying out God's authority and power, our believers, with the Great Commission, that it was the same as the one at the beginning. Okay. And because of that, you see, it's not us. We cannot do it in our own mind. We had to do it in His power and His authority and His glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, going back to the Psalm 8, 5 that I read before, you have made him a little lower than the Godhead or God, and crowned him with glory and honor. So you see, this, what glory is that? This is the glory of God that was given to us, which is really, I had to do the teaching on that, but, you know, and really, not many people understand what that is. This is God's presence working in us. It's not us. We are the carrier of the glory. Hallelujah. See, we had to forget about ourselves. This is why Jesus said, you know, die to self, because only when you die to self, then His glory can come true. So when you die to self, then His power can come true. The power is nothing else than the manifestation of the authority that has given us. The authority is nothing else than the right to rule. And Jesus said, all power and all authority is given unto me on heaven and on earth. You see, He got it back because God had given it to Adam first, and God didn't take it back. Adam passed it on to Satan because submitted to him. Instead of controlling him, instead of subduing him the way God wanted him to do, he submitted to him because he was deceived. Okay, but that authority Jesus took back. Okay. And had to take it back as a man, like we, because that's what he came as, to take it back. Because had to be, you see, God works legally, because He's just. Now, God is more than just. He is love. Okay? That's, otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Okay? So He is love. And that's a good thing. That's it. We had to start to connect to God with the love of God to be able to come into the ability to actually see His authority and to allow His authority to work through us. See, the idea that thousands of years of, 2,000 years of religion spread, you know, it was that God was there, you know, trying to get you, the same mistake as soon as you make a little mistake. That's not the way God is. God is loving you even before you get saved. Okay. And really, you know, that kind of love is a mystery that we cannot understand in the mind. Anything that has to do with a spiritual thing, we cannot understand with our mind. We have to understand it by discernment through our spirit. So unless we get that discernment, we cannot come in touch and receive the love of God logically. because it's beyond logic. It's supernatural. But we are supernatural beings. And so we had to connect or that reality in a supernatural way. See, this battle is not a, it's just a physical battle. The physical part, you know, the things that we struggle on the physical are just the superficial manifestation. But there is a spiritual reality behind that that is much more meaningful and powerful that we had to deal with. Because if we try to deal on the physical, we are never going to win. Okay, so see what happened is that authority, God's authority, has to be implemented in God's way, not in the world way. See, that's why most of the church doesn't work, because men try to do things in the flesh, and the flesh cannot carry out the work of the Spirit. See, God made us. You see, we are His workmanship, you know, created in Christ Jesus. You see, it's not that we, you know, we weren't that way when we are born physically, but if we are created in Christ Jesus, that means if we are born again, then we are His workmanship. That means He made us new. Okay? Because He made us new, we are a different kind of being. We are not anymore the same. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I mean, to implement God's way, to implement God's plan. It's not our plan. It's His plan that we had to align up with. And it's the plan that He had from the very beginning that He has reestablished after by sending Jesus. I'm trying to condense so much stuff that, you know, I'm trying to do it within time, but it's going to be difficult. Okay, so I had to skip lots of things and be superficial in some areas. We could talk so much more and for a long time, but I want to really get across some basic ideas here. Okay, you know, dominion, the idea of authority and dominion has to be implemented in God's way. And there are God's way and worldly ways. Okay. You know, ruling is different than just telling people what to do. It's a dominion type of exercise of authority. You can see that in some cases, and we don't need to do that all the time, but in some cases, we had to exercise the authority of God in a way that is parallel to Him, that corresponds to what He has done. You know, want to see some places in which Jesus ruled the situation, and He generally didn't need to. You remember when He kicked out the money changers from the temple? He was ruling them. He wasn't fooling around. They ran, got afraid just to see what He was going to do. Okay. Another example. You see, there are many examples in the Bible, in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament too, you see, well, this Old Testament is different. The same ruling principle applies to the Old Testament and New Testament. Paul. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I think, yes. You know, it talks about that man that had sexual relationship with his stepmother. Yeah. And Paul exercised ruling authority over him. He just say, get him out of the church. The Satan deals with him. That is the ruling. See, that part is not really very kind, is it? Is really strong. Okay? Because some things we cannot be soft with. You know, with sin in general, in our own self, you see, where do you exercise dominion? The first place where you have to exercise dominion is within yourself. See, that every person has areas of dominion, according to the function that they have. So the place that everybody has dominion on is one's own self and one's own life. See, we are not given dominion on other people. Okay? But we have dominion over ourselves, and sometimes when you have certain function, you have dominion over others because of the function you have in the body. Oh, Christ. Because we are all together. Now, you know, Jesus said, give some explanation. I'm trying to put so much about, the understanding of authority from God's point of view is so important. Because if we don't understand authority, we are not going to implement it properly. And if we don't implement it properly, actually, we lose the ability to operate in God's power. Okay. Remember that God always works by love. All right? But some time has to take some measures. Okay, let's see this now. What Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. But Jesus called them and said, do you know that the rulers of the nations exercise dominion over them? He's talking about dominion again. Okay. However, and they who are great exercise authority over them. However, I shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be chief among you, let him to be your servant. Even so, the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve, and give his life as ransoms for many. So the idea is this: ruling doesn't mean that you are there and are the most important person and you want to control others for your own purposes. See, your ruling has to be done for him. So you are doing his plan, not your plan. You are after the benefits of what God wants to do, not what you want to do personally. And so because you do that, God cares about everybody. So, you are not after your own interest. You are after the interest of everybody. See, this doesn't happen often in worldly government, where they try to do their own thing. Okay? It's not a selfish thing. So, really, to be able to rule and exercise the authority the way Jesus is talking about, you have to die to self. You have to care about others just as much as you care about yourself. Love your neighbors as yourself. See, that's implementing the law in the proper way. So, this is not the way Satan rules. See, he comes to kill and steal and destroy. You see, he's trying to magnify himself, try to control people, and that's really not God's way. You see, he's an illegitimate ruler from God's point of view. Okay? And that is what the way he's been operated from the very beginning, and he continues to operate like that. I can read lots of scripture. So, and he, the way he penetrates and the way he works is by deception. See, let me talk about how the fall came about. Because it was, fall was not, it's good to understand that because it applies to us too. Because it works the same today as it worked then with Adam. See, there were four stages in which the fall took place. Okay. The first stage is Adam was aware of Satan's presence on earth. I mean, the first place is awareness. How do you are tempted by sin? Well, if you are not aware, you're not tempted. All right? So there is to be an awareness that you acquire, that you know some things that exist. Well, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9 says, out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight of the and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So you see, he was already exposed to the existence of evil, even before he went into the detail of applying it. All right? So the second thing, okay, is that how does it work? That you are exposed to it, and you get used to it. You tolerate it. You know, if you remember, Satan talked to Adam and Eve. I mean, if he talked to them, must have been exposing them already. I mean, was there. If they did what needed to be done, before he even opened his mouth, they had to take authority and say, stop right there and go. Instead, they listen. Okay. How is temptation comes about? I mean, an idea comes to you, and you just let it there. And instead of taking authority immediately against it, you just let it work there. You don't take it. You see, the things that you had to do is to cut the thing before it takes root. They didn't cut the things before. They had the authority. See, they had the authority of God to tell him, go. They didn't say anything. They got used to him. You see, he was around. And so he had the opportunity to talk to them. So I could read you a lot of scriptures, John, but there, you know, he started talking to them. You know, starting, you know, you will not surely die, say, you know, start questioning or starting to put doubts in the mind, in their mind. Okay? So, you know, the idea is really what evil you tolerate, it will destroy you. I think I quoted a couple of last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, something, you know, was going about it. If one generation tolerates some things, they will be embraced by the following generation. Okay? Well, that's exactly, is it doesn't take a generation. Sometime, you know, where sin works, is going to work on the person right away. It's going to take some time. You just read, you know, First James chapter 1, and you will find out that the process is really the same there. You know, you start thinking it, you start allowing it to be there, and so on. So, what happens? You just there, allowing these thoughts to come to you and to work in them. That's what Adam and Eve did. So, what happens? You know, there is a proverb chapter 18, verse 3 that says, when the wicked one comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes reproach. So the idea is when you are exposed to these things and you are starting to accept them as a reality around you and you don't take a position, the result of that is that the fear of God goes. See, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So if the fear of God goes, then, you see, because you are exposed to it, you are not opposing it, you are not doing anything about it, and it's just penetrating slowly and taking roots in your thinking. And that's what they did there. So, see, and finally they sin, okay, and because they accepted those ideas and they tried it out. The very moment when they did that, what they did is they broke their allegiance to God and they submitted themselves to what the devil or Satan was saying. So automatically at that moment, they were separated from God, which was the source of life. And God told them, you know, if you do that, you're going to die. So automatically, they got separated from God. They lost the authority that they had. And because they submitted to him, what they're going to do is what happened is that the authority that they had was passed on to him. And so from that moment on, you see, Satan became the legitimate ruler on earth. There are so many scriptures talking about that. For example, in John chapter 12, verse 31 says, "Now the judgment of this world, now the ruler of the world will be cast out." So really, it's talk about, you know, the Bible talk about him as the ruler of the world. There are at least three scriptures on that. And on, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, you know, whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of unbelieving men. So the idea is that the blindness of people comes because he comes and deceives them. Okay. So the idea is that he is now in control. He has more authority, he had more authority. Okay. Because of what men did. Now, if you look at somebody that is not a born-again believer, he is his ruler. Anybody that is not a born-again believer, that means, you know, that he's not being regenerated by Jesus. Because the chapter where Jesus is, he says, a slave or under the rule of the devil. Because they are still in that condition, although, you see, that's the thing that we have to understand, that they don't have, although Jesus overcame Satan, but the people that are under him, they're still under him. And so he can control them. They are slave to sin. They are dead in their trespasses. Okay, so the results of the fall. He was separated from fellowship. Man was separated, Adam and all these descendants were separated from fellowship in God. He inherited a sinful, rebellious nature. There was the rebellious nature that Satan had because it was passed on to them. Number three, he no longer had dominion and power over the world that God had given him and has passed on to them. Okay. And he was now subjected to all the works of the devil. Pain, sickness, death, lust, hate, addiction, sin. I mean, you can make a list. Anything that is bad became subjected to those things. Not only that, but it was also controlled by demonic forces. Demons had the authority to exercise over them. Now, we as believers are different. You see, Jesus restores man dominion on earth. This is what we have to understand. You know, Jesus was tempted exactly the same way as Adam was tempted. But he wasn't there allowing those thoughts to remain there. He took a position right away and pushed out all the temptation that the devil was trying to put on him. Okay, so see, that's what Adam should have done at the beginning. That's what God had planned for him to do. He was the first Adam. Jesus was the second Adam. See, exactly the same thing took place. Okay, and so in Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says, "So by one man's obedience, many were made sinners. So disobedience of many are made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." That means in right standing with God. You see, became sinners that they became separated from God. We are reunited with him because of what Jesus did. Okay, so that is implications that, you know, being righteous with God, that means, you know, that the same authority that was given before to Adam came back to us. with the same power, with the same glory, with the same thing. Now, the problem is, you know, that our mind doesn't catch up on that. See, the battle is there, and the battle is win, but, you know, we don't understand. We don't perceive properly what we have. And we have to grow into the understanding. We have to grow into the perception, which has to be acquired, not logically, because it's not a logical thing. It's a spiritual thing that has to be spiritually discerned. Are you following me? So we have to take back what the devil has taken. We have to reassess the authority that is actually we already have. But we express or are able to commit only to up to a certain point because we are not completely cleaned up inside. Because there is still so much of the flesh influencing us. You see, that's why we had to die to self. That's why we had to get rid of the past. That we had to get rid of the influences of the enemy and the bondages that were there. He wants us to start walking free. Free from all the things that are hindering us. Free from all the bondages that the enemy has put on us because we submitted to him. Amen. Are you following me? Yes. See, this is something that we had to learn and grow into. Hallelujah. So, well, looks like we are not going to finish this today. But what I want to say here, okay, is if you are born again, it's really up to you. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, very clearly, you know, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, I pass it on to you. You go and do, take over the earth the same way as God said, take dominion at the beginning to Adam. And the way you do it is to spread the gospel. Spread the gospel of salvation, spread the gospel of the kingdom. You see, it's more than just salvation. It's not just a question of getting people to go to church and know that sometime you're going to go to heaven. Okay, going to heaven, yes, going to come. But that's not what God's plan is, only. God wants us to take over the earth. Yes. That's why we had to spread the gospel. So that's why Jesus was preaching not the gospel of just of salvation, but the gospel of the kingdom. He wants his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. This is what Jesus prayed, thought us to pray. That means, you know, that was to be the desire, the goal, the plan that we have as believers, not just to get people saved and go to church. It's a much bigger goal, much bigger plan. This is God's plan. This is God's desire, God's idea, not ours. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? So you see, we had to move into that dimension. You see, but we had to understand that the devil is still controlling territories in everybody that is under him. Okay? And so the first thing that we have to understand is what Jesus, you know, what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, you know, give no place to the devil. I mean, don't be tricked into, don't allow, you know, things so that he has control over you. See, that's the part that we had to learn and understand because of our lack of understanding. There are areas in which he controls us in one way or another because we don't know what is ours. The more we know, the more we have true understanding, the more we can live in what he has given us. You know, if you don't know that you're going to be, can be saved, you cannot take the salvation. You cannot take forgiveness. You see, lots of people, they even get saved, they say the sinner's prayer, and they still feel guilty. I mean, if you are forgiven, you are forgiven. So you shouldn't feel guilty, okay? And when the devil comes to you and says, you know, you are guilty of that, it's not that person is dead. Amen. I'm not him anymore. I'm a new creation. All things are of God. But you have to take that position, otherwise he's going to try to trick you into bondage. The same thing with sickness. I mean, you know, the devil is trying to put sickness on you. Well, you can take it and go with it. When indeed this is his work. Or you can say, no, Jesus took it on himself. I'm free from it in Jesus' name. Go. And he has to go. But you have to be, I mean, he's not going to get off very easily. Especially sometimes when put through then, you're thinking is still, I mean, you're still in the flesh. So your thinking is still generated by your senses. Because your senses are going to tell you, well, you see, you're hurting there. Hello? But it's your spirit that has life. So you see, our flesh, our mind has to be submitted as part of the kingdom that we had to take in subjection, you see, to take dominion of. And that's the first place. I mean, don't try to go to do too many things outside you when you haven't done the things that work inside you. Receive God for the things that you need for yourself, not for selfish reason, but to establish the kingdom within your territory, within your dominion area. So that after when you have it, you can give it to others. And you don't just keep it for yourself. You should start spreading the kingdom. Give it to others. Show the others the truth. Help them to become free. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't give place to the devil. See, that's a good statement to make. See, remember, be ready, be watchful. You see, that's the thing, because he tricks. He's a thief. So you have to be watchful. You know, and when you know the battle that is, that's the battle that is within you. Okay? And then you have to take a position when he tries to penetrate your territory, your dominion. And the way you do it is what we said last week, you know, with James 4:7, then it says, you know, that submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But you have, you know, the resist the devil, I really find that that is even too weak. Really, so oppose the devil, fight the devil. Yes. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Okay, so we need to destroy the works of the devil. Destroy it in your dominion, your territorial area, the area of your responsibility, your family. You are responsible. You have dominion over your children, especially when they are young until they are grown up. So you have to take a position for them to help them to stay free. Because when they are young, they don't know much. So they have to be trained, developed, so that they can fight the fight. And when they're grown up, you know, they're going to be able to stand on the position that they should have. Well, we passed the time. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we are going to see a bit more next week on the battle. See, the battle is won. Amen. And the battle is won not through your own strength, but through God's strength, through God's power, and through God's authority. But you had to make sure that you are on the right side of the fence. You see, the fence garden that you have, don't let the enemy penetrate the garden. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I think we should make a confession here. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for winning the battle. Lord, I'm born again. I'm a believer. And I will not give place to the devil. I'm obeying God. I'm following God. I have God's authority to overcome the enemy every time He tries to come to deceive me. I'm not going to be deceived. I'm going to overcome. I'm an overcomer by the power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that is mine, that you conquered 2,000 years ago. In Jesus' name, I am victorious. I can do all things. I can defeat the enemy, and I can take territory for God to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.